This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive, and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
I think even the old man's going to get out and go to the game tonight.
You?
Yes.
You're going to go to the game tonight.
I am going to the game tonight.
There's got to be like some other like reason why. Is there like a big client up there?
Nope.
Somebody offering you money?
Nope.
Nothing like that.
That'd be a good reason to go.
You're just going because you want to go.
Correct.
How about that? Well, good deal. Because yours truly is also...
You going
to be up there. Yeah. Of course, I'm going to be an astute member of the media.
Or I'm not astute.
At least that's where I'm going to be sitting.
I'll be a member of the media. I won't be sitting there, but I'll be in
attendance. You got a box. No, you're sitting on Gucci Row, right?
Well, you'll find out tonight.
I guess so. Well, you know, they added some more seats to Gucci Row, so gives you a better shot at getting down there. it'll be interesting. I mean, that this is, of course, we're going to talk.
Look for me on TV.
Yeah. Just like people look for me when I was in the student section, yeah. You're going to be wearing a basketball jersey.
I'll be the guy with the face paint.
Yeah, you'll be that guy. I can totally see it.
I'll be the guy with the face paint wearing the Corliss jersey.
Yeah. So. Well, hey, maybe that.
And no undershirt.
Maybe that good mojo will help them out because they have not performed very well at home this year, needless to say. So.
Hey, but here's your chance for a 2-game conference winning streak right here.
Is it a streak if you win two or is it a streak if you win three?
I think you probably need to win three.
Okay.
But right now, even though you haven't won two in a row, we'll take a 2-game conference winning streak.
However you can manipulate the rules.
Whatever you got to do.
Make it stretch as
whatever you got to do to feel better about yourself.
That's what it's all about right there. So, but, you know, Arkansas with this, and I thought it was fascinating because when I was looking at this game and previewing this game and seeing that Arkansas is actually favored by 7 in this game, according to Vegas, which I think is an interesting line, which we'll talk about. I started looking at just the fact that they haven't played well at home this year. And we know this. They've lost 4 true home games in Bud Walton Arena.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably say they only lost to one good team of those 4, which would be LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Florida, I know that they're not
Florida's
not
an okay,
horrible.
They're an okay team.
Yeah. But George Tech and Western Kentucky are not good teams.
Nope.
And so this has kind of been the question that people have been asking of just, the home court advantage that Bud Walton has always had, I don't think in just a few games during a short period of time in the season that you say, oh, now it's gone away. But it does make you wonder, something been lost from it all?
Yeah. Those 3 games right now are probably the difference in you being a considered tournament team and being out. I mean, you're not even on the first 4 out. You're just out.
That ain't being a consideration.
Right. But you have those 3 wins. Is it different?
I think it is. I mean, because
you lost to LSU, but
you'd be 14-5 right now.
Yeah. If you'd beaten Florida, you beat Georgia Tech, you beat Western Kentucky, and you were 14-5, and you're 1 game better in SEC play. That might be the difference in being inconsistent. I mean, I think it would be.
Because those are really the only bad losses.
Someone get me Joe Lenardi on the phone.
Yeah.
Wake him up.
The bracketology. It might be so, though, because if you think about it, those 3 losses are really their only bad losses. Because
mm-hmm.
Florida's sitting at, actually, they have the same record overall as Arkansas, 11-8. They're 3-3 in conference.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it wouldn't be considered a bad loss against LSU. So, we know that they're a tournament-style team, but still, it would have been a frustrating one. So, yeah, but that's the thing is that you look at these games and you look at this season, it feels like you're so close, but yet so far. You feel like you've had so many games that have been close, which they have been. They have had a bunch of one-possession games in these losses, and that's what frustrates you as a Razorback fan because you know it's like what would 10 points mean to this team? 10 extra points.
What
mean everything.
You brought up something a second ago I think is an interesting conversation. What has happened to Bud Walton Arena?
Mm-hmm.
Why is the home court advantage seemingly not there any longer? I mean, how many times has Arkansas lost 4 games at home at Bud Walton in a season.
Somebody put out that stat. I'm trying to remember when it was. It's been a long time, though.
Yeah. I bet it hadn't been very many seasons.
I think it was Pelfrey's second year, third year, something like that.
I bet in 25 years it hadn't happened very many times.
No.
Four in a season. And now and I don't think they're done losing at home. I mean, they still got Ole Miss coming in. I know they're reeling a little bit right now. A decent Alabama team at the end of the year.
Still got Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
Top 20 team.
Maybe the best, as it appears today, of all the teams left. Vanderbilt and A&M are winnable games, and tonight's game with Georgia. Well, if you don't beat Georgia, A&M, Vanderbilt at home, I mean, you got six games? Am I counting that right in my head? Six home games left?
Yes.
There's a good chance you go 3-3. I mean, just based on who's better. I mean, if you were picking them on neutral sites, on neutral floors, you'd say, maybe 3-3. Probably beat Georgia. Probably beat Vanderbilt. Probably beat A&M. You can't say that about Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Alabama.
No.
So at home, I don't know that the home floor edge, where's it at?
Certainly seems.
Maybe tonight's a step towards getting some of that back.
Yeah, you have to. By the way, I just looked up Bud Walton's home records just over since it's been in its existence, essentially. And there's been a few more times that they've lost four, but they've only lost five or more games three times. And if you can imagine, two of those times were during the Stan Heath, John Pelfrey years, and one time was during Nolan's last year. So, and that's overall. It has not happened very often. And you're sitting at right now, as far as Arkansas records, they're still winning at a clip of 82% of their games. So it's not like this is just completely new territory. It's happened before. But at the same time, though, when you look back, you also got to see who they played and all that. Because I guarantee you that the times that they lost, at least under Nolan Richardson or anything like that, when they lost four games or more, they were not to Western Kentucky and Georgia Tech type teams.
No.
They were against SEC opponents that were coming in. So, but that's the thing, is that Bud Walton has always had this allure to it. It's always had just something about it where when it got – and this is how it was growing up, even when Arkansas was not a good team. If the game was in Bud Walton, you always felt like there's a chance.
You thought you could be the Lakers in Bud Walton Arena.
Yeah. And one of the biggest examples of this, and I think one of the examples that stands out to a lot of people, is, say, for instance, when it was Pelfrey's second year, and in 1 week you had Oklahoma and Texas in back-to-back home games, and you beat them both.
He had the red jacket on.
Yeah. You had no business winning those
games. And you could not get a ticket.
No. But you had no business winning those games. But they came in and you won. And Oklahoma, they actually beat pretty handedly.
Remember how silly we are back then? Man, I sure hope Kentucky doesn't steal our coach away.
Everyone thought Pelfrey was the next coming. But it's just funny because when you start 13-1 in conference play and you have those wins going, I mean.
You didn't start 13-1 in conference
play. Or not conference play, non-conference play, excuse me. Yeah, so you start 13-1.
Right.
People start believing.
Yeah, he caught lightning in a bottle for about a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same way, I believe, as in Mike Anderson's second season, where number two Florida came in. And Arkansas beat him by like 30. And no business winning that game. But there's just something about it, which I know home court advantage means a lot for a lot of different teams. Don't get me wrong. But Bud Walton, from the beginning of time, since it's been in its existence, has always had something extra about it. It's always been worth 10 points, I believe, is what everyone says. It's just, and you're talking about even when the crowd's not huge, not when it's just 20,000 people. And so when you see them lose four games, especially in the fashion that they've lost those four games and against the teams that they've lost those four games against, you start to scratch your head and you start to wonder, is something missing from it? Is that element, is that home court advantage, is that comfortability with this team missing?
You know, for years you played in front of 16, 17, 18,000. It's been a long time since you had 19,000 in there on a regular basis. It's been 20 years probably. But you still have a good home court edge when that lower bowl is full. And that's 13 or 14,000, something in that line. When that, in most conference games on a weeknight, and particularly like one tonight that starts at 6 o'clock, I think that's what you're going to see, the lower bowl full plus, I think, 14,000, 15,000 tonight.
You're,
Man, that's a good college basketball crowd.
You think there's going to be that many?
For a 6 o'clock, of course, what's the weather going to end up doing? I know it's cold this morning, you know, 20-something degrees, at low 20s where we're at. It's probably in upper teens in Northwest Arkansas.
It's going to be a high of 39 in Fayetteville.
Yeah, the high today is going to be around 40. I think you get a pretty good crowd there. I know I wouldn't go. If this game was at 8 o'clock tonight, I'm out. I think you're probably out on an 8 o'clock game.
Be asleep by 8.
Well, I mean, there's just, I think there's a lot of people that have the same routines we do.
Yeah.
But this game time tonight gives everybody a chance to to go and, well, I can go and take the wife and we can be home by 9:30, 10 o'clock. That's manageable. So I think there will be a lot of people that take advantage of it tonight.
I feel there'll be less.
And high school basketball is not playing for the most part tonight because it's the built-in snow day and they didn't need it. So there's going to be a lot of people that don't have a high school game to go to.
I feel like there's going to be less than 10,000 people there. Just going off of my gut instinct. But maybe I'm wrong. But it just seems like the way the season has gone and being a midweek game, I don't know.
You may be right.
Yeah. But if that's the case, it'll be disappointing. Yeah. It'll be really disappointing to see.
Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope back. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're in number 3. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Anthony, appreciate you joining us. How you doing this morning, man?
Hey, doing pretty good. My pleasure.
Hey, well, we got a lot to talk about with this game. But first, let's start with Georgia, because they're in their first year with Tom Crean as their head coach. Mm-hmm. We know that we've heard about a lot from him, as well as his success at Marquette. Was at Indiana, had a few years there. But just overall, so far this season, how would you grade the job that Tom Crean has done in his first year? And are fans really excited about the future with Tom Crean?
As far as the fans go, I think they are very excited. I mean, just from the fact they've already had, 7 South House at Stegman this year, which you got to go all the way back to 2002 at Georgia to find them have that many. And they're going to have another one this weekend against South Carolina. And so the mentor standpoint is it's really been pretty exciting, I think, for folks here at Georgia. As far as everything else, I think coach has been very, meticulous. I mean, he's told people from day one this wasn't going to be a year one, quick turnaround. And because the team is having to learn an entire different way of playing the game, they still don't have the Jimmys and Joes that they need to reach the upper echelon of the conference. So it's been a learning process for everybody involved. But I think, we saw this past, Saturday against Texas, they're starting to get some of the details that Coach Crean wants done and things that he's preaching. So we'll see how they do moving forward. But so far, I think he's done. I give a pretty good grade right now, probably high B+.
You just examined the season stats for this team, and you notice that the leading scorers are the forwards in Hammonds and Claxton. Describe this offense, and it's really, really not as guard-driven as we see other teams in college basketball.
Yeah, that's probably the big problem with Georgia right now. They do not have what you would call a playmaker guard. They don't have a guy who can, if things break down, can take the basketball and make them have a score point or whatever. They just don't have that. And so they've had to really be very, work very hard to get the proper spacing, making proper cuts, and just playing the fundamentals that coach wants. And that's really what they've been trying to do this year, because they don't really have that go-to guy they've had the past few seasons with, Yonte Bates, J.J. Frazier. But it is a forward-driven team. I mean, Nick Claxton has been one of the better players in the conference, got great length. Rayshon Hammonds, a sophomore, like Nick, and they've been pretty much carrying the offensive load.
Anthony, one thing that I know that Razorback fans will always be interested about when they play a team is how the team handles pressure, because that's what is kind of the moniker of what Razorback basketball is, 40 minutes of hell, fastest 40, whatever you want to call it. How has Georgia been able to handle pressure this season when they've gone up against teams, maybe not exactly like Arkansas, but just up-tempo teams?
Yeah, they have not seen anything like they're going to see against Arkansas, that is for sure. Texas tried a little bit of that and had some success. I mean, Georgia had 26 turnovers against the Longhorns. I've covered basketball, gosh, 20-something years. I don't think I've ever seen a team with that many before. And if that's against Texas, if I'm Georgia, I'm really concerned what's going to happen when Arkansas turns on the heat. Because, like I said, Georgia's guards right now are not, they're good players, but when it comes to handling the pressure and press, I think they're going to see it's going to – that could cause some issues. I'm curious to see how Coach Queen is going to kind of try to coach around that back though tonight.
The forwards go 6'8", 6'9", 6'11", with Claxton. Will Claxton be the one to draw the assignment with Daniel Gafford tonight, or will that be a group effort? How do you think Tom Crean approaches the defense on Arkansas's best player and Daniel Gafford?
Yeah, probably. I think it'd probably be Nick Claxton. He's definitely the most versatile, most talented defensive player Georgia has. I mean, he's one of the leaders in block shots and is a leading rebounder. You know, one of the leading rebounders. Right now. So Nick is the one who will probably I'm about 100% withdraw that assignment. But also, what's funny about Nick? I talked about the guards a while ago. You also see Nick Claxton play point guard from time to time, and that's a definitely different situation. You got a guy about 7 foot tall, bringing the ball up court, working the ball in transition. It's something I've never seen before. But he does a decent job. But again, I'm really curious to see how they're going to adjust to some of the issues I think they're going to find, tonight. With the 40 minutes of hell.
We're speaking with Anthony Dasher of UGASports.com right now on the Morning Rush. Anthony, another question I got for you is just for the matchups tonight. Obviously, Arkansas, they haven't performed very well at home this year, at least comparatively speaking to previous seasons. Already lost four games at Bud Walton Arena, which usually is very unusual considering how great of a home court advantage that they have. But if Georgia's going to come in and win this game against Arkansas, what is Georgia going to have to make sure that they do and that they accomplish if they're going to get out of Bud Walton with the victory?
Well, job one is cut down on the turnovers. But that's been an issue with this team the entire season. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they've had over 20 turnovers, and I know at least 8 or 9 games this year. It's really been a big problem. Again, a lot of that goes with just the fact they're still learning this offense, learning how to play it in Coach Crean's system, and that's going to be the biggest issue. Offensively, they've been playing pretty well. Tyree Crump came on this past game and really gave Georgia a big boost on the perimeter. Had a career high 6 3 pointers, and he's the guy. If he can get going, he can cause some trouble, and definitely I think he'll keep Georgia in the game. But basically, it's going to as cliche as it's going to sound, Georgia has to play within itself, play fundamental basketball, and again, not turn the ball over and find a way to handle that press. If they can do that, they get a shot.
Another question I have for you, Anthony, is something that I always ask people that cover different teams and from across the country when they come on our radio show. It's just about Mike Anderson. He's in his 8th year now at Arkansas. He's been at the tournament 3 of the past 4 years. You said you've been covering basketball for a long time, so I'm sure you're pretty familiar with the Arkansas program. Just what do you think about the job that he's done at Arkansas? Did you expect him to do a little more than what he's done, or is this about what you expected?
Based on Arkansas's history and all that, probably. So I would have thought, he might would have been able to do a little bit more than what he's shown so far. But I know he's a very good coach. I know he was mentioned for the Georgia job way back when, back about 10 years ago or whatnot. I think from a talent standpoint, what Arkansas is typically able to get in and historically what they've been able to do in the NCAA tournament, if I'm an Arkansas fan, I probably left feeling just a little bit, wanting to see just a little bit more what I've seen so far.
Yeah. You mentioned the game against Texas that Georgia got the victory, but prior to that lost 4 straight. How important is this, not just for conference standings, but just the mental approach for Georgia tonight to get into Bud Walton Arena and have some success?
Oh, no doubt. It's a team that they were really struggling with comps. Of course, the schedule this year, SEC also wasn't very kind to Georgia. They happened to open up against Tennessee, right. Auburn, Kentucky. the one when they do have was at home against Vanderbilt, but they had to go to LSU. So, they've had a tough go. But, still, I think overall, very young Georgia team. And they're trying, the conference, I think, was an issue after the past game against LSU. It's a game they thought they had a chance to win. But, they got a big boost by beating Texas. So, even though we had all the mistakes I talked about earlier, they think they're maybe trying to turn the corner a little bit. So, we'll see what happens tonight. But, definitely, when it comes to conference play, they need to get a big win.
Anthony, something we discussed also earlier in the show is just about Georgia and the athletic program itself. Obviously, it's a football school. We all know that it's all about football there at Georgia. But where's their basketball level of excitement when it comes to the fans? Because in Arkansas, there's a lot of great basketball fans. There's a lot of people that's passionate about it. But we just don't know much about Georgia as far as where their fans at. So what's the fandom, the excitement level? How big of an importance does Georgia basketball have in the eyes of Georgia fans?
It's kind of like the whole entire state of Georgia, not just Georgia Bulldogs. If a team is winning, like the Braves, for example, people will show up. The same thing, I think, with Georgia basketball. What we've seen through the years, when Jim Herrick was the coach, they would sell Stegman, call and see him out on a regular basis. When Tubby Smith was in Athens, the same thing. And it's just a matter of how the team does it. If they win, people will show up. And like I said earlier, they already had seven sellouts this year. A lot of that's been due to Coach Crean just kind of going out, the community going out, the fraternities and sororities, and just, you know, going out and shaking hands, kissing babies and whatnot to get people excited. And so far, like I said, it really seems that the fans are really a little more jacked. I mean, the fan base was really down, I know, the past couple of years, past two or three years, rather, you know, under, you know, with Coach Fox. But Coach Queen, I think, has really kind of invigorated that. I'm curious to see what happens if the team does start winning. I think you'll see the program take a big jump as far as interest goes.
Anthony Dasher, managing editor for UGASports.com, covering the Georgia Bulldogs. Really appreciate you joining us this morning, Anthony. Have fun tonight, man, and hopefully we're catching up with you later down the road, all right?
All right, guys. Thank you.
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
So we teased a little bit of a giveaway that we're going to have here on the morning.
Right.
And here's the setup for it. It's a Bud Light cooler giveaway that we'll be giving away next Monday, correct?
We're going to give it away on Monday. That's right. A Bud Light Super Bowl cooler. It's got the Super Bowl logo on it. It's got the Bud Light logo on it. This is not a small little like six-pack cooler. It's a full-size Bud Light cooler.
Take it to the lake type of cooler.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you can see the picture. You can see all the details on Facebook or on Twitter. We're going to give away two.
Mm-hmm.
One on Facebook, one on Twitter.
That's right.
And it's real simple and real easy. Ty's made this real easy for it. We put the graphic up on Twitter. We've pinned it to the top of our page on Twitter, at Hit That Line AR.
Mm-hmm.
That's the handle. You can find it there. You probably find it in your feed right now because we just tweeted this out. But at any time, you can go to at Hit That Line AR. We just need you to like it and retweet it. And we're going to give away one on Facebook. Same thing, or one on Twitter, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing on Facebook. So like, retweet on Twitter. Go to Facebook, like, and share.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to give away one on Facebook. So we're giving two of these babies away, one on Facebook, one on Twitter.
And they have to follow Hit That
right.
Line.
Got to follow course. Us. You get, you know, to be a winner, you need right. to follow our page. You know, a lot of these folks already do that. But you know, obviously, right. you want new follows, yeah. new likes via whichever platform that is. So if you're out there and you haven't liked our social media platforms, do that. Then like or share the posts or retweet the post in Twitter's case. And then you're entered. It's that simple. We will randomly choose a winner at about this time on Monday. So yep. that gives you now through the Super Bowl and all weekend long to do that.
Yeah. So there's really no excuse for you to not at least go on there and get, because you can't win if you don't try.
Nope.
So you got to go out there and you got to share it. You got to like it. You got to retweet it. You got to do all that fun stuff. So be sure to check yep. it out. And it's going to be up there. So we pinned it on top of our profile picture, our profile page too.
Right.
So again, it should be easy to find if you can't do it right now.
But, we'll be mentioning this in the morning rush and in halftime and different times. So we'll keep reminding you.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we're going to be really just annoying you with it all.
Train that can't be stopped. It's going, boys.
Yep.
That's right. That's right. So that's where we're at with it. So we'll be giving you more information as the week goes on.
So in 2 minutes, it's already up to 21 retweets. So we're off and running.
Mm-hmm. And this is also helping Tommy get a little more used to social media and how it works mm-hmm. and how everything like that, because there's certain things about social media that, because you're not a Twitter guy, you're more of a Facebook guy, I've noticed.
Well, I read it more. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Which I'm just
fine.
Happy he knew what a retweet was.
Yeah. Retweet and a like.
Well, if I could say what I wanted to.
You know, because Twitter used to have favorite. It wasn't like, it was favorite. Now they changed that all. So, but no, Tommy, do not say what you really think.
So Kim
really
was when Kim was in here yesterday, I introduced myself. He's like, "You're the guy that makes fun of Tommy's age all the time,
yeah.
right?"
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yep.
Glad you're known for something. Yeah. Just the one that makes fun of Tommy and how mm-hmm. old he is. Well, thing is, Tommy's really not that as old as what we make it out to be. We just like to play it up a little bit because, you know.
It's all theater of the mind.
That's right. That's
joke's
right.
on me when he kicks me to the curb. You're fired.
Yeah. And then you'll see.
No, I'm just going to kick you. Not to the curb. Just physically kick you.
Yeah. So. Well, people should have seen it yesterday. I think it was during the show or whatnot. But see, Tommy and Ty have this back and forth thing that they do. And Ty likes to instigate and push Tommy's buttons a little bit by, you know, Tommy will ask a legitimate question of like, okay, so how does this work? And then Ty will be really like smiling, laughing at him almost in a mocking way of saying, okay, Tommy, this is how this works. This mm-hmm. is how you, and then Tommy gets mad. Tommy almost Thomas stood up and was about to rear back and pop him because he got tired of it.
I would have completely deserved it 100%.
I know. And that's what cracks me up is that I'm sitting there. I'm like, one of these days, No, Tommy's going to give him like a purple nurple or something like that.
And he threw Vern's book at me a couple weeks ago.
No, yeah. That was like when you were pretty new to the show, too. Yeah. Not only did he throw it, I mean, because we changed microphone stands. If you had that microphone stand that you have now,
if I wanted to hit you, I'd have hit you. You know,
no, your aim's just that good.
It's just that good. Mm-hmm. The hand-eye coordination is off the charts.
How bad would you have felt, though, if you actually like hit him in the face? And
I wish I would have started.
I actually kind of felt bad that I actually let him that I did that. I was really just trying to mess with him, but
yeah. Well, just don't.
Yeah, sometimes you're just trying to mess with people.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm really trying to do with Ty. I would never do anything to purposely cause him extensive bodily harm.
Yeah, extensive bodily harm. Yeah.
Well, I would feel really bad if I like bloodied his nose or something. Well, bloodied his lip.
Here's the thing: we just got to keep everything sharp out of Tommy's hands during the show. Just anything that he can use as a weapon, just take it away from him all, because apparently. Prone to violence in that way.
Just messing with Ty.
Oh yeah, it's all in good fun. That is for sure. All right,
I don't mess with you like that. You know, just
sounds like there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Does he know it's because are you intimidated by me? Does he know I hit back, or is it just because I'm not as fun to mess with?
You're just not as fun to mess with.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of the reason I was going to go, yeah. But I'm going to believe that's because you're afraid of me. But even though I know that's not true,
That's not it.
All right, so let's go into a few would you rather questions. Of course, some of them dealing with sports topics, some of them not. We're dealing with the things that have been going on during the show. So, all right, would you rather? Simple question here. Start off. Have the Rams or the Patriots win the Super Bowl? Coming up this week.
Yeah, Razorbacks on either side.
Yes, you do.
If you're looking, because I know there are people listening that will look at it from that perspective.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you got Brandon Allen.
Ooh, thanks to it.
Yeah. Jeez. Brutal. Okay, so, yeah, so it's just silly. Who would you rather have win the Super Bowl? Because you're going to watch it. We're all going to watch it.
I'm all about greatness and all about records, and I'm really kind of indifferent. I didn't get either one of the teams in I wanted in.
No, neither did I.
So I think I'd just assume the Patriots win. I'm not a Patriot hater, just like I'm not an Alabama Crimson Tide hater. I enjoy watching and observing greatness. We're watching and observing greatness with the Patriots and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. I wouldn't mind him piling on another one. One for the other thumb, you know. So, give me the Patriots. But I think there's great stories to tell either way.
Yeah.
How many more? Brady's going to have what? He ain't going to have more than 6 or 8 more chances in the Super Bowl. He's 39. He's only got 10 more years.
He's 41.
41,
right?
Yeah. He's playing until he's 41.
That's right. He's 41.
Drew Brees.
Brees was 39.
Yeah, 39. Yeah. So, yeah, he's not slowing down anytime soon.
Playing until he's 45, apparently.
Jeez. Well, the thing is like I can't bet against him. And I'm the same way like you, Tommy. I did not have the teams I wanted did not get in. And I am a Patriot hater. I don't like Tom Brady. I respect him, and I think he's the greatest of all time. I don't like him. Don't like Bill, but I don't like any of that. But at the same time, though, I couldn't give two rips about the Rams. Like, I'm sorry. I know that
the Sean McVay story at all.
I mean, it's intriguing, but it's not enough for me to root for him.
It just makes me feel more like a failure. Here I am, 43, doing a radio show.
What are you doing here live?
And this guy's over 10 years younger than me. He's coaching the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, see, that doesn't do anything for me. There's just not enough reason for me to root for the Rams.
How do you, someone just, a friend of mine just texted me, how do you hate the GOAT? I mean,
it's easy. He's not a likable person.
Because he wears Uggs and he has a moat around his head. I like him, but there's reasons to not like him. Yeah. He wears Uggs.
If you don't like him, it's because you're jealous of him.
I don't like him, but I still respect him as the greatest of all time, though. It's like, I don't like him, but I know he's the greatest.
And that's a good way to put it, because I don't hate Saban. I don't love Saban, but how do you not respect Nick Saban?
Yeah.
Same thing with Tom Brady. Same thing with Belichick. How do you not?
Said you can hate him all day long, but you got to understand. Because I have a friend of mine that will argue to he's blue in the face that Tom Brady's not the greatest quarterback of all time.
Are these two going to go out at the same time, Belichick and Brady?
No. I think Brady goes out before Belichick.
Or does Belichick go out at the same time so he's not exposed as, hey, all of this success was...
I don't know, but
Tom Brady.
But whoever leaves, it's going to be
whoever leaves first.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Okay, because if Tom Brady leaves and Belichick doesn't have the same success, everyone's like, oh, it's all because of Brady,
right?
But if Belichick leaves and Brady stays around, and then they don't have the same success, it's all because of Belichick. So it's all going to be pointed that way. But we do know that Tom Brady will have a good chance to win his sixth Super Bowl.
I'm just telling you,
6.
Even Ty won't live long enough to see anything like this again in his lifetime.
I don't think so. And it's because I feel the same way about like Michael Jordan. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to be able to win 6 titles like Michael Jordan did in the NBA.
I mean, I thought I'd never see anything like Joe Montana again.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is, we're not going to see what Saban's done. We're not going to see what Tom Brady's done ever again.
And it's the same way, too.
Because players won't play this long.
Well, speaking of Montana, do you see he's investing in a cannabis business?
It's a good place to put your money.
Hey, the way that's growing out, pun intended. Yeah. It's a good
business
place.
Is blooming.
It's a good
blooming.
Jeez. Jeez, yes. It's a good... All right, but yes, that's the thing. Are you going to see anything or anybody as great as Tiger Woods, the next lifetime? I mean, it's just that, it's that way. Because you don't feel like you will, but I guess there's always that chance that
I mean, it seems like once every 25 to 40 years you get someone that comes along, but it's a generational thing,
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, this one's just kind of more of a fun one. We were talking about special teams. Would you rather have Joe Adams returning your punts or Dennis Johnson returning your kicks?
Joe Adams returning my punts because kickoffs have been marginalized out of the game by rules.
Yeah, but punting, it's a lot easier to keep a return from happening. Because all you got to do is kick it really high or really short.
All you got to do is kick the kickoff into and out of the end zone. It's just too advantageous for a team to fair catch and take it at the 25.
Yeah.
To me, you can still be okay fair catching a kickoff or just taking the touchback and we'll take it at the 25. A punt return, if a guy can get you 8 or 10 or 12 on average, that's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
But be as dynamic as Joe, I'll take Joe Adams.
Yeah. See, I'm the opposite. I take Dennis Johnson just because I feel like, you can kick it out of the end zone, but not everybody can actually kick it out. They can kick it into the end zone. No.
Well, everybody can but Arkansas.
Yeah, apparently.
I mean, I don't know if you've been watching, but every team in college football has like 3 players that can kick it out of the end zone on a kickoff, except Arkansas.
Yeah.
Now, Arkansas didn't have one that can do it every time.
And I feel like it's the greatest momentum changer because
State can kick it out of the end zone every time. But Arkansas cannot.
Usually when Dennis Johnson was doing kick returns, it was off of a touchdown from the opposing team. So it's a good momentum killer to have that threat back.
UAPB can kick it out of the end zone every time. Arkansas cannot. I do not understand.
No, I don't think anybody does. All right, final one, just a random one, non-sports related. Would you rather be only able to watch 90s movies or 90s TV shows? Like, you can only choose one. Because here you think about some of the great movies that were made in the 90s and the great shows that have come through in the 90s.
Can't hardly wait. 10 Things I Hate About You.
Okay, you're out of it. Get out of here, Ty. Like, that's not even close.
So 90s TV shows, we're talking Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, Friends.
Cheers, does that go in there?
No, I wouldn't say Cheers because I don't know if it may have ran into the 90s, but I think it's more of an 80s show.
Does that count, though? If it touches the 90s.
I guess I should have specified. Sure.
Okay.
Specify.
What would be some of the other great ones?
I mean, it's really when Law and Order starts. So you got
some of those like police detective type shows, Law and Order.
Yeah.
And then there was a bunch of those Law and Order whatever.
Yeah, all the other spinoffs that I had.
Because really, reality TV didn't come in the 90s.
Yeah.
Some of the other great sitcoms.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of them if you think about it. A lot of great shows. Full House, people like that kind of that type of thing. Full House was big in the 90s. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, some good shows. Mm-hmm. Family Matters. But then in the movies, you got great ones like Forrest Gump and Braveheart. Just to name a couple of them out there. I mean,
what's the best movie of the 90s? You mentioned Forrest Gump.
It's up there.
That's up there. Yeah.
It's got to be. Braveheart's definitely up there for me. I love
Braveheart.
I still
haven't seen Forrest Gump.
You've never seen Forrest Gump?
What the crap, Ty? How? I feel like that's a movie everybody's seen. And if you don't like Forrest Gump, it's like you're kind of a bad person.
I think the movies in the 80s were better, though.
Define better.
We had Top Gun. You had Caddyshack. You had Major League.
It's a pretty strong list.
I'm not saying 80s
were
bad.
The 80s.
I don't know if I'd put Top Gun, though, as my movie I go to in the 80s.
I'm with you, Tommy, there. I love Top Gun.
Yeah.
I think 90s, I don't know. Apollo 13 was a great movie.
And I'm not a big Star Wars guy.
Yeah, Star Wars.
But all that stuff was mainly
Yeah.
I mean, the bulk of it was 80s.
I don't know. Ty, we'll put that on the poll question. Just ask. What
I'll go 90s shows.
Okay.
I'll go 90s TV shows.
And I'll go 90s movies. But put that on the poll question, Ty. Which decade had better movies, the 80s or the 90s? Just very general. Better movies, 80s or 90s. So there you have it. There's a Would You Rather Tuesday.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod and Ruskin is Ranting podcast on HitThatLine.com.